that the negative and the positive that I'm perceiving are both valuable. And if I can put it into a middle pile of perhaps and maybe and what can happen, then that's a place of discovery and learning.
Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's about to get awkward. Thanks for joining us for the Own Your Awkward podcast. We've got an amazing guest today, a new friend of mine. Please help me welcome Sean Allison. Sean, how are you today?
I am highly favored and greatly blessed.
I love that answer. That's such a great way to think about, you know, where we are in the world right now.
Yeah, I just think that there are lots of reasons to be grateful, and that kind of balances out the things I struggle with throughout the day.
Sure. Yeah, I just had I'm going to go on a tangent now, but I just had this thought this morning because I shared a nightmare I had a couple nights ago, and I thought, I need to share this because there was a lesson from having that thought. And I try to find that balance between sharing the things that are a little uglier to deal with in life without being the negative person out there on social media who's always like, it's a, you know, Debbie Downer, life's awful. However, I don't want to be that, oh, my life's great, I don't have any problems. It's like, no, these are the things that make life great because they put in perspective all the blessings we have.
You are correct. And I saw that episode.
Oh, thanks.
So thank you for putting that out there.
Yeah, that was raw and uncut and just in the moment. And it made me think I need to do that more often. So speaking of, you know, negativity and blessings and all those things, what's kind of a positive thing you see going on, or the most positive view you've got on what's going on in life right now?
I'm surrounded by people right now that are actively changing their lives, confronting the contradictions that they're faced with, and finding that gap closing as their authenticity emerges, and they feel a bigger space and purpose because of that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's there's a couple things that you say there that I want to unpack, because first, you started with surrounding yourself, and I think that's something that's so critical, right? We create the space we want to live in, and a big part of that is what community are we bringing into our lives. So how do you do that? And I'm going to come back to a couple of the other things you said, but how do you find those people? How do you pull in people and sort out who to let in?
Well, this kind of goes into owning my awkward. One, I'm a Christian and also a psychic. And both of those terms come with prejudices and ideas that are smaller in experience and larger in imagination.
Okay.
The verse that comes to mind is, the truth will set you free. Mm. And I like to personalize that by saying, my truth sets me free. And that's what I identify with in groups, that my tribe are people that I can be vulnerable around, I can be inspired by, I can explore my weaknesses and discover special traits that are within those experiences for my learning.
Okay. So when you mention how your tribe is someone you can be vulnerable in, I think that's something that's so key, but also someone else might not be vulnerable in your tribe because that wouldn't be their tribe of people, right? We have to find our own tribe. Like me stepping into a group where you are being vulnerable with your people and your key inner circle group. Everyone's there feeling great, lovey-dovey, sharing the things, tearing up, doing whatever, right? And then all of a sudden I'm like, I can't be vulnerable here. This isn't my space. And not that your space isn't, couldn't be, but it doesn't mean that that's for everyone right now. All of a sudden you have to find your own personal thing. And I love that you say your truth, because that is going to be different for everybody.
Yeah, and I feel like my ministry is in the area of subjective truth, how
Okay.
we are perceiving it, the filters we're using to navigate our horizon and our experiences today.
Right.
And that it could be in a breath, a sigh, a tear, but there's a recognition of your truth within that content. If I own it, then there's a feeling of buoyancy, of freedom, and engagement. I'm drawn into the conversation.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like we kind of got right into it, because you mentioned this is touching on your awkward space. So is your awkward that working that balance? Is that the thing, or is it, do you define it in a different way?
Well, for me, Christianity is not about religion. It's not about groups or our traditions, a doctrine. It's about relationship. And so the way that it presents to me when I'm around other people is that it brings out the best in them, and I can find my experience within their truth.
Okay. Now, I find that interesting, because I've heard people talk about coming to terms with their faith and sorting out the difference between maybe the institutional side of a religion versus their spiritual beliefs. And that's very relatable to me, where it's like, I can get on board with what I believe. It doesn't have to be prescribed by any doctrine that has been signed, sealed, delivered, and stored in a building somewhere. However, you take it a little step further with this idea of the relational side of it. And how did you get to that?
Well, I grew up with a big sense of being loved and appreciated and valued for who I am. And I find that when I am in a space where I can feel free to present that, to explore and discover what that means for me in this moment, in this conversation, that feeling of intimacy is so much larger than our conversation. It's like the space that we create together.
Okay. Yeah, and it's interesting, because I was raised Catholic, which is Christian, and being gay, I know a lot of people who are very anti-Christian, very much, oh, it's the root of all evil, the anti whatever. And I think when we talk about this idea, like you're saying, of your truth is going to be what sets you free, I knew that for myself, that wasn't part of the doctrine of the church, but I didn't feel like hated on in the community I was in. Now, I wasn't out, so who knows what, had I been, flamboyantly, obviously gay as a youngster, who knows what experiences I may have had. It could have been very different, but the experiences I had were loving and were accepting of the me that they knew. And so I think that there's a couple of things that I'm seeing from what you're saying. Is one is, what is the truth that you've lived in that space? And then one of the things that I remind myself of is, how do I want people to leave their experience with me as far as how they feel? Do they want to feel better about themselves? Is their day better because I was in it, or did I put them down, put them in their place? Did I win that little thing? How we kind of like, I got that person, and that's not the guy I want to be. And I think that really does come back to what I know of Christianity is that relationship side. And it's so simple. I love the way you just, sum the whole thing up in how are we interacting with people.
Well, and from a very foundational principle in in doctrine in Christianity about how Jesus came to die for the sins of those that were lost. I don't look at that as a group. I look at that as the individual, and that sense of intimacy, that sense of connection and sacrifice is how I can find meaning without having a middleman between me and the God of my heart. You know, it's an expansive universe, but very intimate and personal in the way it arrives and the way that I experience it.
Yeah. Now,
And to you, it may,
no, go
yeah,
ahead.
to you, it may show up within your native tongue, within your metaphors and life experience. And that's something for me to learn and celebrate. That truth is where I find my freedom.
Okay. Now, do you know, you said that you were raised as a Christian. Was there a point where you noticed that you were feeling a little differently than the rest of the group as far as how you viewed your relationship with that faith?
You know, I think that there's a sense of something is wrong from the very beginning when it felt so exclusive,
Okay.
like only Christians have this experience. What I found is that I was in a Bible school right after high school that was like an intensive Bible college.
Okay.
And within that experience, I kind of taunted God in my limited life experience. I basically said, you know, prove to me that you are real and I'll share it with other people. I didn't realize it would take me outside of Christianity. I was just wanting proof. I was wanting that experience. But
Okay.
it has taken me out of my religion and into other experiences where it was so profoundly relatable that my full body, internally, externally, I was changed by the way other people were living their lives.
Wow.
And that was the proof that I was seeking.
So, interestingly enough, stepping outside of the Christianity is what made your faith in the Christianity stronger.
I grew up in a very dysfunctional environment where that was very confusing for me. In fact, I stayed away from church for most of my adult life up until about maybe 15 years ago.
Okay.
And I found a group that I could identify with and explore and feel supported and also nurture the awkward, or the what I like to look at today as the contradiction, the gap between what I'm presenting to Andy in this podcast and what I'm experiencing with Sean right now, that
Right.
there's a that ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's larger and sometimes it's right on point. And my awareness of how that ebbs and flows is kind of how that psychic experience, that sensory observation and empathy began to grow.
Okay. Now I want to ask you about that in just a minute. But first, I'm curious about. You said that there was a point where you sensed something was wrong. And I'm curious, when you say wrong, do you mean like wrong with you in the eyes of the church, or wrong with your relationship with the church, or just in a wrong place? How do you feel that was?
Oh, I like that question. I think I'm feeling it from a couple different points. I didn't understand why I was sitting in church and hearing about an all-loving God, and yet learning songs like Red and Yellow, Black and White, they're all precious in His sight. You know, Jesus loves all the children of the world, and yet everyone around me was white.
Mm, okay.
And I was like, what's up with that? And so I think observations like that caused me to start being curious of why it was feeling dissonant in me, why it was feeling off. I didn't unpack it other than develop stereotypes around it until much later on in life.
It's interesting you talk about just coming back to this idea of your truth too and your experience. And a few years ago, was it 15 years ago, sort of finding that Christian group and church that was relatable, that was accepting and maybe different in a way that related to you. And it gave me this thought of, people who come to America, I hear different people share their experiences of coming to America. And depending on where you land and the people you experience, you have a much different idea. You could land in Alaska in the winter and think America is a cold place and a dark place. And you could land in Arizona at any time of the year and think America is a hot place and it's barren and dry. And you could end up in Washington and think, oh, it's rainy and wet. And that could go for the type of food you're eating, the way people talk. And yet, for that person's truth, that is their view of that place. And that's the same way I see religion. Like the people we experience, the people we're exposed to, doesn't mean they're all that way, right? And we could apply that to any other religion, but we hear that with, I hear that blanket thing about, oh, Christianity is bad, it's awful. Yeah, well, maybe you had a bad, awful experience, but it doesn't mean that that's everybody in that space.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm entrusted to that experience to unpack it, to develop it, and to allow that to meet my needs by identifying what I'm in need of.
So this has been a journey. Clearly, you had the space of feeling like there's this wrong element. And then we fast forward to now. How did you find that group that you ended up with that was the right experience that brought you back?
Yeah, well, and that's why I go back to contradiction. I was in a relationship with a lady whose father passed away, and I started having visitations from that departed loved one. And it troubled me, and I didn't feel comfortable going to the Christian church with it. And I started looking around at how I could unpack this experience and found Journey Within. And that program is what gave me the awareness and understanding of what I was experiencing and helped me develop spiritual skills around detecting it and helping find the clarity not only in myself, but in other people, so that they could recognize the wisdom that was arriving for them.
Now, was that the first point that you really tuned into having psychic feelings, or were you aware of this already, or practicing it for years and went, oh, nope, there's a thing.
Yeah, I found myself in the middle of a meditation class, thinking on one hand, this is everything my family taught me was evil. And at the same time, the contradiction was that I was learning faster, remembering things that I've felt like I've known for decades, like truths that I understand immediately and resonate with that I hadn't heard of before. I wasn't taught.
But you
I didn't
didn't
have any
take
education
time to
around.
understand them, they were just there.
Yeah, it was like, yes, that makes sense. That feels right. And that contradiction created, I would say, a meltdown. I was emotionally distraught because of that entanglement. And that happened to occur at a time when I was cleaning windows, because I'm also a window washer, at a customer's home. and I felt led to speak with the customer about my experience, and they were able to help me see that because of my dysfunctional upbringing in the religion that I had experienced in the churches that I was in, it wasn't safe for me to receive that physical or that spiritual enlightenment. And so I was brought out of my tradition into a foreign experience where I didn't have any judgments around so that I could receive what I was ready to work with.
I love that, and I love the way you describe the dysfunctional upbringing, and it almost more so, instead of saying that thing is dysfunctional, the religion is dysfunctional, it's more that somebody read the rule book wrong when they were explaining it to you, or they applied the rules to the religion wrong. So that was the dysfunctional part. It wasn't that the thing itself was the evil.
Yeah, I think our humanness gets in the way. You know, our frailties, our fears, our judgments. And because of other people's fear, I was not able to experience my truth. And I think that that's oftentimes what gets in the way of relationships, that one person's truth is in contradiction to what the other person needs
And
or in conflict.
how do you deal with these conflicts and contradictions between what could be things that have opposing levels of acceptance with each other between psychic and Christian? And I'm sure that that can be applied to any other area of life.
Yeah, I received a message this morning that I thought might explain that. And it's like life is a contradiction where my integrity is the relevancy of how they align in this moment, that those details may be dissonant as they are floating around in my day, but at one point, they all align, and that clarity for that moment is presented, is offered.
And I'm gonna forget to ask a question because you're saying some deep stuff here. So my head's going into the thought process of thinking through that, because that is a good point. Like they're gonna be out of line, but it's what's going on in our head on how we're gonna bring those together, and having that clarity that then actually brings it into a place where they can be at least harmonious. They might not be on the same wavelength all the time, but they don't have to be in conflict.
Well, here's a good example. I was raised with the idea that bankruptcy was wrong, that it was evil, until I experienced having a medical medical issue that generated so much debt that I could not overcome that. Now I was being told that bankruptcy was a good option for me, was a smart decision. Well, there's the contradiction, right? But the relevancy that right now it's appropriate has just presented itself as an opportunity, as an invitation.
And if you can't get past your own thinking to allow a new way of thought into your head, you would never accept that.
And oftentimes, that new thought that you're describing, people seek me out for, because I am further away from the issue, and I can see things clearly, and I can present that to them in a way they can receive.
So how has that developed over the years? You had the first couple times where you have the thoughts, you're washing windows, and all of a sudden, whoa, there's something here I've got to share. Was that like a, hey, now I'm this guy and I'm in my new space and instantly life is good? Or was there a development process? How did that come together?
Oh, yeah. Well, I first started as a student at Journey Within and then became a teacher and on faculty with that same program for 15 years. So I am quite skilled and have a lot of experience
Yeah.
in that field. The way that it started, I would say in normal conversations with people, I would say things that would come up that they would follow up with later and say, hey, that was really helpful. This helped me with a certain portion of my decision-making process.
Yeah.
Now, formally, I will be meeting with someone and read their aura. It's like we all send out an energetic field that has information. You may be first recognizing it as, my first impression. We use that a lot as far as an example. So someone walks past you and you identify something special or unique about that person, and you don't know them, but that's your first take on them. And
Sure.
oftentimes that is accurate. I think that what I'm experiencing is very normal. We all go through it. I have just kind of trained it to be more formal.
Okay. Yeah, I think that that's something to be aware of, that we have the ability to be good at any skill if we focus on it and develop it and learn it and practice it. And that's something that, one thing is I grew up telling myself I'm not good at math. I'm not good at math. I'm not this, that, until I started realizing I'm actually good with numbers. I don't like doing numbers and I don't practice it very often, but I've had to change that script in my head to say I haven't taken the time to focus on developing higher math skills. Because I've been developing other skills. If I wanted to be a tax accountant, I could put my focus in that area. It's not what I'm choosing to do because I'm developing other things. And I love that you mentioned, like, we all have that inside us, and it's kind of like that ignition, whether we turn it on or feel it and say, oh, you know what? I started that car. Let's see how far down the road or how fast this can go.
Yeah. And to me, window cleaning became a natural palette, almost like a Bob Ross of information, where as I was cleaning windows, I would get details about the homeowner's life that was important for me to share. And that prompting and sharing developed times where I had some amazing conversations with people because I followed through with that prompting.
Now, when you say that, is that from, and maybe it's a little of everything, like a statement they make or an object you see in their yard or in their house where you say, oh, this must mean something.
It first started that way. Now I offer it along with window cleaning. I'm like, would you like for me to add a blessing to your house and to your space? Is there anything that you're in need of or in that you need support in that I could take a look at and offer you information a little bit later? And
Okay.
so I will go through and clean the windows, gather the information, and then share it with them.
Oh, wow. So it's full service, really.
It's a clear perception inside and out.
Yeah, is that your business name, Clear Perception?
No, but it's a tagline.
Okay, I like that.
The window cleaning is Windows Across America,
Okay.
and the spiritual work is When Your Sidewalk Ends.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. Now, that's a deep thought right there. So when you like we I it's interesting how you mentioned the bankruptcy thing, because I can relate to that with things, anything that I grew up being perceived as different or not okay. And psychic was one of those things. It was always, oh, that's, I don't know, it's like the guy on Wizard of Oz who's got the globe that he's looking at Dorothy's pictures, and taking in the information and then kind of pretending like he knows more than he does. That was kind of the visuals that were always in front of us, or the perception. It's anything that's different. And I think it's unfortunate, because that's where we run into problems in society, is that we put a negative spin on things that we don't understand. And then we don't ask the questions with the curiosity that we need to in order to understand them. So how, when someone is in the space of conflict, when there's something, whether it's bankruptcy or religion versus being more intuitive or whatever that thing is, how do you step into pulling those two conflicts together when you're like, ah, this, I can't touch that because that goes against everything I was raised to believe, or everything that I'm holding dear to right now? Because this is, if I let any of that in, it's gonna break up, everything's gonna crumble over here, because these values, my life is built on this set of values, and if I accept that, that has to erode this. How do we even start that?
The first word that comes to mind, or the first message that comes to mind, is that all things work together for good.
Okay.
Okay, for those who love. The rest of the verse may say, for those who love God. But love is one of the connective tissues that brings everything into clarity, into that timing, where it can be brought, where it can function in a different way, in a brand new way, because it's a brand new experience.
Okay.
So it's about timing, it's about resources, and it's about support coming together to create a brand new experience. And I think that that arrives in the time in time with the conversations that people are having, the way that people show up to support and encourage each other.
Yeah. When you talk about support, and you mentioned kind of finding your tribe earlier, finding people that are all, working on bettering themselves, how do you let go of the people that maybe aren't the best people to be in your circle?
I think we are always moving closer and further apart. There's this ebb and flow in relationships.
Okay.
And the more that I can appreciate how things come together and how things separate, then as a window washer that travels around the country as a chaplain as well, there are times that I connect with people at a very deep and intimate level. And only see them once a year.
Okay.
And so there is more separation than there is being together. And perhaps we can approach it from a place of we can be connected even though they're physically distant, or we need different conditions to thrive in. And
Okay.
so I can be supportive to someone who doesn't that let's say that is an enemy, because love can appreciate what they need, which is different than mine, and that appreciation is the focus rather than the differences.
Okay. Yeah, and that's touching on a whole next level thing too, where you talk about, loving your enemy, or loving someone who maybe you're at odds with. It could just be that I have a hard time seeing where you're coming from. But I think something that you mentioned that's so critical there is that their needs are different, that there's something that they need that might not be in line with what we need, or even a need that we appreciate.
Or it may be in not understanding context. So what comes to mind is in the Psalm 23, I think it, further on down in that message, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." Well, at first you're going, "How ridiculous is that?" It sounds very filled with conflict. But when you look at that table representing community and communion, coming together to eat, was a very supportive tribal custom. And right, it still is with us, especially let's say around Thanksgiving. So there's a sense of that you are still part of my tribe, you are still part of my community, and this is an important time to put aside differences and be there for each other. If I allow for someone, if I allow for God to speak through my enemy, then I can learn my lesson without the resistance. If if I'm not focused on the messenger and focusing on the message that is arriving, then it's not about the other person in that moment. I'm receiving my truth for that moment.
Yeah, you're almost setting them aside and saying, you know, that's just the packaging. What's the gift that's in the box, right?
Exactly. And I really think that a lot of the differences in the world are presenting themselves in the insecurity and lack of skill that I have in what I'm judging.
Okay. Wow. Now, how is that received when you just step into the world? You're like, hey, I've owned my awkward. I got this psychic and Christian vibe going. Was that an easy thing for people to come to terms with, or was it a long journey to really find that tribe of people?
Well, I first described what my educational process in with my family in particular as I was going to school for spiritual development. And that was accurate. And I was trying to find words and language to relate to my history and my relationship with them. At some point when my family experienced the school that I taught in and saw that the metaphysical memorabilia that was up on the wall, the different signs and symbols and meanings that were represented in the room were different than the Christian tradition and symbolism. Then the conversation became more direct.
Oh, for
And
sure. Yeah.
so I remember my father saying, I don't quite, things aren't measuring up. You're saying this and I'm seeing this. And I say, well, I'm a professional psychic. I teach other people to have those skills. And I use the term spiritual development because that is what it is in Christianity, in the churches that in the second chapter of Acts, that's what Paul was speaking on, was that encouragement in that area of development. And so I'm trying to find language to describe something that is new to me, and yet I'm very familiar with how it's represented in the Bible. So I'm trying to interface it, I'm trying to connect it together.
I think that's so.
And it wasn't until
Yeah, go ahead.
Just to finish out connection, there's a point where my father was, we were listening to music that he used to play as a professional musician, and he was enjoying his recording of himself, the younger version of himself. And I remember him closing his eyes and clasping his fist, and with almost jubilation, he was saying, wow, I was really good. It's almost like the notes just found me. And at that point, that contradiction, all of those floating pieces came together. And I said, you know, Dad, when God has me sitting in front of someone else and gives me words that they can receive and understand and gives them clarity that they haven't experienced before, it's almost like the words just find me.
Wow. That's powerful.
I'm just sitting in that powerful moment, right?
Yeah.
That is what I'm looking at creating
Okay.
in this conversation, in other conversations. There's that palpable moment when we both are on the same page and having separate experiences, yet It's a shared experience that will only happen once.
Wow. Yeah. And I think what's so almost ahead of the times in a way for what you worked through there is that, when other people are trying to accept us or understand our own accepting of ourselves, we've done all this work behind the scenes that they weren't part of that conversation that we had in our heads. So they didn't have the
Yes.
years worth of coming to terms with it, with understanding it, with being okay. And then all of a sudden we say, here's who I am, this is what I'm doing. And the mistake we typically make is we expect them to have done the same work and get to the same level of understanding. And then we have this sense of betrayal that, oh, they didn't, how come you don't get it? You're pushing me aside. It's a rejection of me. Yet what you were able to do was to say, I need to speak to them where they're at in the language and terms that they understand, because I'm over here and they're here. I have to do a little translating along the way until we can get to that space where you had that opportunity to say, now we can speak the same language, or with just enough where these two things now actually are word for word translations of the situation.
Yeah. And I think at the core of empathy, our emotions are what connect us.
Yeah.
We get lost. We can go to war over words and vocabulary, but the emotions are where we find unity and harmony.
Yeah, that is so true. So, life is good. What's it like since you've pulled all these things together? No more issues ever, or is it an ongoing battle every day? How do things continue to move forward?
Goodness, back to my imaginary friends and having that support from beyond. I mean, whether it's a departed loved one or feeling like there's a host of heavenly support surrounding me, there's always this coming back to the lesson. What can I learn? How can I show up? And what does that give me as options for today? I may be limited or struggling because I'm at this phase of the process or the unpacking. However, I have a longer, my faith, my that contextual understanding is unraveling, and I'm a part of that in a very real way right now.
Yeah. Now, you've got a business, you're teaching people, you are also a psychic, and you're washing windows. What's the best way for people to support you, to give you business? People hear you talking, they're like, man, I really vibe with this Sean guy. I gotta get more. I gotta get in touch with this guy. I gotta follow him. Where's the best place for people to give you love and support and help you out?
Oh, I appreciate that question. Well, first of all, Compassion Speak on Facebook. We also have another group called Healing Waters for Empaths that are a part of Facebook. TikTok, When Your Sidewalk Ends, and whenyoursidewalkends.com is my website. And I help people as a transitional coach from where you are stuck to where you are going to give you small, sustainable steps along the way. And yeah, I can give you my phone number and let's see, email address is insightfulquestions@yahoo.com. And my phone number is 303-330-6994.
Perfect. And if you're driving down the road while you listen to this, don't worry. We've got links in the description right below. So when you get pulled over and you're ready to make that call or click on the stuff, just click the link or listen to the episode again, because, it was so much fun. So do that too. So before we go, Sean, is there anything else you want to make sure we cover before I ask you for some advice about how people can own their awkward?
Pay attention to the awkward, the dissonant, and the things that feel uncomfortable because what is laid behind what lies behind there are actually treasures, and your future skills and virtues.
Wow. I love that you, it's almost like a little treasure hunt, like, oh, let's see what we're gonna find. And it makes it enticing to go explore that curiosity rather than be afraid to uncover something. 'Cause I think that's too often the way we view it as, I don't wanna, step on that mine or uncover that scary thing or let the beast out of the closet yet. You look at it differently.
Well, and triggers, we all have triggers in life, things that we react to. And that initial reaction may be based out of self-protection. However, in our unfoldment, as we emerge into who we are becoming, those are actually markers where our body is getting our attention of where we want to go, where we desire to be, and who we resonate with.
Wow, okay. So we need to be able to pay attention to that. Is there a quick hint before we go on how someone can do that? How we can be just a little bit more aware this week?
I would say curiosity and appreciation. If I can be curious of why this is getting my attention, then that anger, that frustration, this past week for me it was envy, looking at how jealousy keeps me from what I'm identifying in other people. And it can also point out reasons why I've chosen to remain separate and apart and hidden because of what that experience provides too, that the negative and the positive that I'm perceiving are both valuable. And if I can put it into a middle pile of perhaps and maybe and what can happen, then that's a place of discovery and learning.
Wow. And that's the hard part, right? Is to see the that there is value in the negative. It's like we want to just say, oh no, that's all bad. I want to jump on that bandwagon and put it all in the pile of yuck. Yet there's something there that I need that has value that I need to take from this.
It's almost like that my despair knows hope, and hope came from despair. So they're both parts of the same experience, and they need each other to provide contrast and meaning.
Yeah, that is where the meaning comes. That's beautiful. Well, Sean, I could take these lessons all day long. They are meaningful, they're helpful. I'm gonna take some of this through my days and weeks ahead and come back to these thoughts and think, okay, am I approaching these situations from the right mindset? So I thank you very much for all of your insights today.
And thank you for helping support and hold space for my awkward.
For sure. Well, you're doing the hard work here, and it makes a big difference in the world. So thank you. Thanks for being vulnerable, opening up, and doing all the amazing stuff you're doing out there. And everybody else,
Thank you, Andy.
thank you. Everyone else, be sure you go out there this week. And as always, own your awkward.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.